thankful this morning. We just thank you for your word, Lord, that even as your word goes out this morning, that it does not return void, but that it accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. That in all we say and all we do, that the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is exalted in our midst this morning. And Father, we thank you that all the praise and the honor and the glory go to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Well, folks, I hope we're ready to receive this morning. Today is a little bit different. It's the end of the kind of the school term, and I thought there would be a lot more children here. So as I was pondering this one, I thought, what can we do where we share the Word of God that we are able to receive, but that the children are also able to receive something? So, and I trust what I'm sharing here this morning is going to be just that. So today, I want to spend some time looking at the life of Samson. Now, if we want to put a title to it this morning, it would be Samson and the choices that he made. Samson and the choices he made. He had a lot going for him, Samson. He really did. And yet, he went out there and he made some very, very bad choices. Very poor choices. And so let's learn from Samson so that we don't make those same mistakes in our own lives here this morning. All right. So, you know, some people are actually born. When they're born, they are born into a privileged environment. We've noticed that. And sometimes these people that are born into a privileged environment, they may have many, many advantages. And you would think that all of them, because people are born into a privileged environment, that they would flourish and reach great heights and succeed. But that's not often the case. It really isn't the case. And so often, you know, people are born into absolutely nothing, and yet they're able to succeed, and they just continue to kind of just elevate and do well. So it's actually a mystery when you think about it, but that's just the way it is. But Samson, he was an example of the former, right? He was born at a very, very special time in the history of Israel. And it's quite interesting because we see seven times this nation of Israel, had rebelled against the Lord. Total rebellion. You know, they started to worship idols and just absolute rebellion. Now, this particular time, God uses the Philistines to oppress Israel and to punish Israel for a period, you look in the word, for 40 years. For 40 years this went on. And of course now, the Philistines are Israel's worst enemy. Bad dudes. Now, the name Samson, who knows what it means? Samson means sunshine. Or funny enough, I looked it up again this morning. And I woke up and I thought, no, sunshine, I know it means sunshine. But another interpretation or of his name is a man of the sun. So it's either sunshine or a man of the sun. So in the darkest days of the nation's history, old sunshine came tiptoeing onto the planet. Isn't that incredible? Right there. And of course, he was a Nazarite. Samson was a Nazarite. You know what a Nazarite is? A Nazarite is a Jewish person that takes a vow. They take a vow. Now, this vow is a very important vow. There's some restrictions and some things that they can and that they cannot do. One of the things that they can't do is drink wine. In fact, if you are a Nazarite, you can't take anything from the vine. You can't eat grapes and you can't drink wine and so on. And also, another thing is that you cannot touch a dead body. Whether it is the body of a person or an animal, you're not allowed to touch a dead body. And also, you are not allowed to cut your hair. So, Samson had been given incredible, incredible strength. This is not what we know Samson for. Just amazing strength from the Lord. And on one occasion, we see Samson go out with a jawbone of a donkey. And he kills 1,000 of these Philistines. 1,000 Philistines, as they came, he was just, you can kind of get the picture, just going clack, 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 and 1,000 of these people falling on his left and he's falling on his right. You can read about that in Judges 15, verse 14 and 15. On another occasion, and I'll read this portion of scripture a little later on, he takes the gates of the city. He pulls these gates out, and the Bible says that he pulls the poles out as well, and he takes the gates of the city and it puts it on his back, and he walks with them right up the hill, and he drops them off on top of the hill. Another thing, Samson, we know him about Samson, that he was confronted by a wild lion. And Samson got hold of this lion and he deals with it severely with his bare hands. He kills this lion right there. And you can read about that in Judges 14, verse 5 and 6. So let me ask you a question, because, well, let me say it like this. How often do you see Samson, if you see a picture of Samson, you see this huge dude. And this guy's got biceps on his biceps, and he's got triceps on his triceps, and his six-pack is a 14-pack, and he's got abs, and you know, all those things we know about. You know, we see a giant of a man. Am I right? So in our minds, we visualize Samson as like a Mr. Universe type of dude, right? What Arnold Schwarzenegger used to be. Okay, I don't know if anybody's seen him lately. Not what he is like now, what he used to be like. That's how we, you know, these are pictures that are actually painted. But folks, I really believe he wasn't like that at all. Because I think he was very similar to you there, Doug. Not much different, Manny, maybe you, Keegan, you know. He was very, how can you say that, Dave? When in my mind, for the last however many years, I just see this huge big dude with all these muscles. Well, it's interesting to note that when he was with Delilah, she said to him, she asked him what the secret of his strength is. Now, if he was like a Mr. Universe, it's unlikely Delilah would now ask him, why are you strong? Am I right? You would know he's strong. You can just see he's strong. So she asked him why he's strong. And because the reason is that his strength wasn't obvious. His strength was a supernatural strength. The Bible talks about when the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, that he just showed and demonstrated this incredible strength. So his name was Sunshine. And he must have been a bundle of potential as he came tiptoeing onto planet Earth. And yet, folks, this is not a happy story. This is really not a happy story. In fact, this is a sad story. In fact, this is a tragedy, the story of Samson. Because of his disobedience, he experienced defeat in his life. Because of his disobedience, he experienced destruction in his life. And also because of his disobedience, he experienced disgrace. He was disgraced. And he was the type of guy that was bold before men, but he was very weak when it came to women. Very weak when it came to women. So he had the Spirit of the Lord upon him, right? Kind of, yeah, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. But folks, he was a guy that operated in the flesh a lot of the time. And his job, as because of the vow that he took and who he was, his job was actually to go out there and to declare war on the enemies of God. And as we read the story, we actually find him befriending the enemies of God. So it's just like he fought the Lord's battles during the day, but he broke the Lord's commands at night because of his lifestyle. Because of his lifestyle. So if you had told Samson at any point in his life how he would ultimately land up, what would happen to him, he wouldn't have believed you, and many that know him or knew him wouldn't have believed you either, because he made choices that determined his future, right? Like all of us. And this is why the story is so important, because folks, we make decisions. We're making decisions at the moment that will determine our future. Where we are today, even today, is as a result of decisions that we have made in the past. That is why we are where we are today. So life is about choices. It's really all about choices. And we need to make sure that we make the correct choices, and that is why it is so important that we have this relationship with the Lord, that we inquire of the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us so that we don't make bad decisions. So he was, he went against his vow and he was sleeping with prostitutes and he was doing all types of things. I want to ask you a question now. Was Samson saved? Interesting question. Folks, you know what? It's quite incredible. He was saved. In fact, if you go to the New Testament, you go and read Hebrews 11, where it actually lists a whole bunch of the heroes of the faith. In Hebrews 11, right in the middle of all those names, you'll see Samson there. Isn't that incredible? So even Samson, in terms of what he did and what he didn't do, he didn't lose his salvation. Now you might be saying, okay, Dave, so this is interesting. Are you teaching here that you can be saved and then you can do what you want? Yep, I'm saying that. If you are saved, you can be saved and you can do what you want. Yes, yes, yes. But you better know that there's a consequence. There is a consequence. There is a consequence in this life that we are living right now, and there's a consequence in the life to come, because the rewards that you and I will receive in eternity one day are based on how we live out this life of ours right now. So let me say up front, there are definitely consequences to ungodly living. And my recommendation is that you do not embrace them. I'm not saying that you won't get to heaven, but your rewards will be depleted as a result of that. And we want to be able to take off our crowns in eternity and be able to throw them at the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Okay, so now let's just have a look here. What were the wrong choices that Samson made? And I'm saying this just to make sure that we can see it, that you and I don't make the same mistakes. The Bible says, we're all in the same boat. The sins of people are all the same. There's nothing different. But folks, we need to be able to see, somebody like Samson, the potential that was there, what actually happened to him, and that we don't make the same mistakes as Samson made as well. So the very first thing that we see with Samson is that he chose, and it was a choice, to dishonor his parents. In Judges 14, verse 1, it says, "And Samson went down to Timnah. And at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines, enemies of the people, enemies of God. And then he came up and he told his father and mother, he says, 'I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife.'" Right? "Get her for me as my wife." Verse 3. "And his father and mother said to him," they said to him, "Listen, is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among our people that you must go and take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" Parents were asking. But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she is right in my eyes." I would say, as you read that, it sounds like a bit of arrogance. It looks like also this guy would not take counsel, right? Folks, in our context, if there are issues in the counsel of the godly, let's get counsel. Let's get other people to speak into our lives and not go out and do our own thing, because we can see here that the fall is big, right? Involve, and when I say counsel, make sure that these, whoever you get on board to, speak into your life, that these are Christian people that know the Word of God, so it's not their ideas that they're giving you, but that it is the truth of the gospel that they'll be sharing with you. So we can see that he had godly parents who actually pleaded with him to do the right thing. They were saying to him, "Don't be unequally yoked, with this uncircumcised Philistine." That's what they said to him. "Don't be unequally yoked." We see in Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land, and that the Lord your God has given you." In other words, if we show respect towards our parents, and this is when our parents are at a certain age. If your parents are still alive and they are 99, They are still your parents, and we should still be honoring our parents. If they're 99 and you 80 something, right? Honoring our parents, there is something in this, and the Bible says that this will bring long life to you. So that's the first thing we see with Samson, where he kind of goes off at a bit of a tangent. Is it too hot in here? You guys awake? You sure? Just checking. The next one, Samson chooses to dishonor his promise. Now he's taken this vow as a Nazarite, right? And part of it was not to marry anybody, you know, that was not from his people. And now we see him on that road. He's on the road to Timnah, wanting to marry a Philistine. It says in verse 5, it says, "Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah." Now this is to find a wife. "And they came to the vineyards in Timnah." Vineyards. Hey, red light should be going. What is this guy doing in the vineyards? First of all, right there. What's he doing right, you know, in these vineyards? Knowing again that, you know, he's not allowed to drink wine and he's not allowed to eat anything from the vine. Anyway, moving on with the story. So this is now verse 6 of chapter 14 of Judges. "Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him." Now this is when this lion comes out to attack him. "And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat." Now, sounds quite gross. I don't know how people in those days used to tear goats apart. But anyway, he tore this lion apart like they would tear young goats apart. "But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and he talked with the woman, and she was right in Samson's eyes. And after some days, he returned to take her. And he returned aside to see the carcass of the lion." So he had killed this lion, he had left this lion there, and now he's going back and he said, "Well, let me go and have a look at, you know, my trophy lion." So remembering, this guy's not allowed to touch anything that's dead. It's part of the vow, eh? Whether it's people, animals, whatever it is. "And behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion, and honey. And he scraped it out with his hands, and he went on eating as he went. And he came to his father and his mother, and he gave some to them." Hey, mom, dad, hey, you want some honey? Okay. "And they ate, but watch here. But he didn't tell them that he scraped the honey out of a carcass of a lion." Right? He didn't tell them that. "Hey, mom, dad, you want some honey?" "Hey, yo, thanks, boy. Okay." All right, so we see, you know, these little things, we see the disobedience, and it keeps on going on. So he continually, you know, as he continues in life, he seems to be violating his vows. And I want to say that this did not happen by accident. He didn't just suddenly do all these things that he shouldn't be doing, right? He knew what he should be doing, and he knew what he shouldn't be doing. The third thing now is that he chose to distort his purpose. In other words, what is his purpose? His calling. And we see in verse 10, I'll just read this portion of Scripture, says, "And his father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, for so the men used to do." So this was the custom. So if you got a wedding, obviously the groom would prepare a feast for, it seems that when you read further, it looks like these are like the best men. What's another word for them? Groomsmen. All right. "So as soon as the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said to them, 'Let me now put a riddle to you.'" Now he's getting smarty pants. "Let me now put a riddle to you. If you can tell me what it is within 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes." Right, so. "But if you cannot tell me what it is, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes." So now he's kind of trading, and he's got this little riddle that he wants to tell them. "And they said to him, 'Put your riddle. Tell us your riddle.'" I guess they were just, you know, "We're going to get some clothing out of this thing. 'Put your riddle that we may hear.' And he said to them," now he gives them the story of the lion that he had just killed, right? And the bees and the honey and all of this. He says, out of the eater, this is what he says to them, out of the eater, which is the lion, came something to eat. What that was? The honey. And out of the strong, again the lion, came something sweet. Talking about the honey. And in 3 days, they could not solve the riddle. Now remember this now. This is his wedding. And all of the guests and all of the grooms are Philistines. Philistines. They're all Philistines. Folks, we can learn here. He's mixing with the wrong crowd. Mixing with the wrong crowd. And I'm saying to us, make sure that the people that we mix with, right, kind of elevate us and not bring us down into something. Be careful who you associate with. So we must make sure that we mix with the right people. It says in Proverbs 13:20, he says, whoever walks with the wise, if you're walking with the wise, becomes wise. It's something like if you're walking with the wise, that wisdom of those people rubs off on you. And if you're walking with bad dudes, whatever it is they're up to, that's going to rub off on you as well. So whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. And the companion of fools will suffer harm. So the riddle, like I said, was actually based on his experience killing that lion and the bees and the honey and all of this. And let me say this, there was absolutely no way of any of them knowing. How could they work it out? How would they know? Right? So what do these guys do now? So they're trying to work it out, they can't. So they go to his wife. They go to his wife and they try to entice her, right? And that she will go and kind of get the answer from him. And she doesn't come up with the goods. Now watch what they do. And folks, this happens in our context as well. They start to intimidate her and they start to threaten her. Listen, it says in verse 15, On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is. Then they say, lest we burn you, we'll set you on fire, and your father's house. Now, these are people that are invited to the wedding. These are the groomsmen. Lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Then they go on to say, have you invited us here? Have you invited us to this wedding to impoverish us? Right? Are you trying to turn us into paupers, lovey? Verse 16. And Samson's wife wept over him and said, you only hate me. Watch, this is what it says. Oh, you don't love me. You have put a riddle to my people, and it was her people, and you have not told me. What is it? And he said to her, he says, behold, I've not told my father and mother. You know, why should I tell you? Why should I tell you? I mean, I don't know. It sounds a bit... Remember, when we get married, folks, there's no secrets. Okay? That's what married life is about. So maybe you should have just kind of spoken to her. Now, what does she do? She turns on the tears, man. She turns on the tears. She turns on the waterworks. She turns on the manipulation. And you can't blame her. She has been threatened. These guys said, not only are we going to burn you, we're going to burn your father's house down. Verse 17 says, and she wept before him for 7 days. Now, this is a wedding. Get the picture. Imagine going to, it's your wedding and you celebrating for 7 days. And she wept before him for 7 days. 7 days, she didn't stop. 7 days that the feast lasted. And then on the seventh day, he told her, because it says she pressed him hard. She must have been like relentless. Okay, just didn't stop. Then what did she do? She goes and tells a riddle to the Philistines. So this guy Samson that we're speaking about here, he could stand before an army. He could go out with the jawbone of a donkey and he could kill 1,000 people, but he couldn't stand before a woman that just nagged and cried. He gave in to that. And verse 18 says, now, they're getting together to find out, you know, about this riddle. And they say to him, the men of the city said to him, on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle. Oh my goodness. Guys, also in marriage, don't call your wife a heifer. Not nice. Not nice. Don't call your wife a heifer. All right. Okay, big mistake. All right. So we see that Samson was actually playing games here. He was playing games. He was playing games with the enemy. And he was not fighting God's battles anymore. He was fighting his battles and he was just doing his own thing. He had lost his purpose. He had totally lost his purpose. And this is something else that we can learn, folks. Once we get born again, we are children of the Most High. Let's make sure that we keep the main thing, and that we don't go off at a tangent. Right? Make sure that is our purpose. Our purpose is to become more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That is really our purpose. So, and another thing too, fight your battles. Or not fight your, choose your battles. If you have 4, 5, 6 battles going out there, or that you might be being attacked on, say, 10 fronts. Let me say, don't start to fight on all 10 fronts. What one needs to do, you select, you choose your battles, but make sure that if you engage in any battle, that you are victorious, that you win. Don't get into a battle and you lose. Is that good? Is that true? Otherwise, don't get into it. But if you're going to involve yourself in a battle, just make sure that you win it. All right? So we can see that God, you know, He gives us all, you know, different gifting, and He gives us abilities and all of these things. Let's make sure that we don't use those giftings and those abilities that God actually gives us for the wrong purposes. Let's make sure we use them for the right person. The next thing we see with Samson, right? He decides, and this was a decision, or he chose to defile his purity. Part of the vow. Go and read it. So it keeps getting worse for him. It just gets worse. Can't get any worse, but it just keeps on. The plot thickens. Gets worse and worse and worse. So what does he do now? Now he starts to look out for loose women. That's what it is. Looking out for prostitutes. And of course, for him, it wasn't very hard to find. Let's pick it up in Judges now, chapter 16, verse 1. And Samson went to Gaza. And there he saw a prostitute, and he slept with her. And the Gazites were told, Samson, you remember these people hated him, right? He had just gone out there and he had killed 1,000 Philistines with this jawbone of a donkey. So Samson had come here, and they surrounded the place, and they set an ambush for him all night, the Bible says, at the gate of the city. They kept quiet all night, saying, let us wait until the light of morning, then we'll kill him. Let's just wait for morning, guys. Okay, then we'll take him out. We'll kill him. But Samson lay. He stayed with his prostitute till midnight. And at midnight, he arose and he took. Watch this. He took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and he pulled them up, bar and all, and he put them on his shoulders, and he carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. So, this is his lifestyle. This is how he operates. Folks, the Bible talks to us in Proverbs about these women. It says in Proverbs 5:3, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. Okay. Forbidden woman. It's not your wife. The lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol, which is hell. And if guys are not careful, they can follow her. And it's quite incredible. I was just thinking how the devil actually operates, because the devil will never ever show us the end of the story. He will always just show the temptation. He puts a temptation there, but of course he's not going to show you the whole story. And we need to, as Christians, we need to be very, very mindful of this as well. And this type of sin that we're speaking about here is actually binding, and it is totally destructive, and it's also very desensitizing. You know, once people kind of embrace it, they become desensitized. It's like they've just been led by the nose. Of course, none of us here, but I'm just saying, all those other people. Are we there? It says in Proverbs 6:32, he who commits adultery lacks sense. You got no sense. It goes on to say, he who does it destroys himself. So not only is the person that, you know, commits adultery, not only do they have no sense, but this thing, it destroys them ultimately. He will get wounds and dishonor, and his disgrace will not be wiped away. So the consequences of adultery, folks, they go on and on and on. Of course, there's forgiveness in all of this, but it's the consequences of this thing that actually carry on. There's always forgiveness with the Lord, right? And then the final thing that I want to speak about, that he commits a sin now that actually removes the anointing of God on his life. The anointing leaves him. God's strength, the supernatural strength, lifts off him. So now he's parked off in Delilah's hairdressing salon. Right? And now she wants to know. She wants to know from him why he's so strong. And he toys with her. And he starts lying to her, and he tells her a whole lot of stories. He first says to her, if you bind me with bowstrings that have not been dried, if you do that, you bind me with these bowstrings that haven't been dried, I lose my strength. So we know the story. She did that, and he was lying. Then he says to her, if you bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I'll lose my strength. And she does that. And of course, that's a lie as well. Then she says to him, if you weave 7 locks of my hair and fasten it with a pin. Now, notice it's getting closer and closer and closer. Now he's talking about his hair, getting closer to the truth. Is that true? Right? Folks, the devil operates like this. He will always try to turn us and start to take little steps, small steps in his direction. This is exactly how he operates. And then finally, he actually caves in and he tells her the truth. Now it's too late. Tells her. Now it's too late. Now he's gone past that point of no return. And here is the saddest verse. Let me read it to you. Judges 16 verse 20. And he said, and she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he woke up from his sleep and he said, I'll go out as the other times and shake myself free. So he just knows that he can go out there, he can do it. But watch what the word says. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. God had left him. And I want to say, even some of us here today, slowly, slowly, you know, you've been moving just gradually away from the Lord. And when this happens, we reach a point where we don't even know that we have become cold towards Him. I want to encourage us, folks, if you sense that at all in your own life, make the decision today to push back in and to draw close to Him and allow Him to be your Heavenly Father and to guide you and lead you. Right? It's a process, a very slow process. So the lesson that we can actually learn, or one of the lessons that we can learn from the story, is that God would have rather have forgiven Samson. Remember, like he did with David, when David owned up to his adultery and to his murder and all those things. David owned up, but Samson didn't. Along the way, Samson messed up, he made mistakes, and a lot of it, he made a decision to do these things that were wrong. But if he had gone to the Lord would have restored him. There would have been reconciliation, that relationship with God. But he chose to keep on going and chose to keep on doing wrong. And never do you see him coming to the Lord and asking for forgiveness. When we mess up, and we will, let's run to him. Run to him and ask for forgiveness. So, I'll just read the end of the story now. So, we know that they captured him. What did they do? They gouged out his eyes, and then they stuck him in prison. Chapter 16, verse 22. But the hair of his head began to grow. Remember, this is where it was a representation of God's anointing upon him. And it began to grow after it had been shaved. Now the lords of the Philistines, these are all the who's who in the zoo in terms of Philistines, they gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon. Now Dagon was their god, the Philistines' god. And to rejoice, and they said, our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Can you imagine that a group of people like this, you know, we don't know, there's at least 3,000 of them, are so excited that they have now been able to capture one man that the anointing of God rested upon. They said that. Our God has given us Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. They praised Dagon. And they said, our God has given our enemy into our hand. And watch what they call one man. One man. They call him the ravager of our country who has killed many of us. Samson. And when their hearts were merry, in other words, they're obviously sitting there having a party, you know, having a few too many. Okay? Yes, like that. That was a signal for them to now call Samson. Okay. And when their hearts were merry, they said, call Samson that he may entertain us. So they called Samson out of prison and he entertained them. Imagine now he's like a circus clown entertaining these guys. This one that they feared and, you know. Anyway, they made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the young man, this must have been a young man that was guiding him because he was blind. This young man was just taking him into this place. And Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them. Now the house was full, right? Remember, this is who's who in the zoo of the Philistines. The house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. All the important politicians and on the roof, there were about, how many of you know how many of them were there? 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson was now the clown, while he entertained them. And Samson called on the Lord and he said, oh Lord God, please remember me. And please strengthen me only this once, oh God, that I may avenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Because they had gouged his eyes out. And Samson grasped the middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he had killed at his death were more than those whom he killed during his life. Incredible. Folks, God will have his way. God had anointed him for a purpose, and God would have his way. And again, we can learn from Samson that we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He is our God. And as we put our trust in him, let's make sure that all those big decisions of life, that we inquire of the Lord, allow him to speak to us, that we don't go through what Samson actually went through. Remember, it's all about the king, and it's all about his kingdom. Amen. So we can see, folks, there's a lot that we can learn from these, often we call them children's kind of stories. A lot that we can learn. Have we got a song?